This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I don't think the Bills will ever win with Sean McDermott as the coach. Same goes, by the way, for John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, same draft. We have never seen quarterback coach pairings together for this long that haven't won yet that end up winning a Super Bowl. I know, like, Bills fans don't want to hear this, but, like, this is the truth. How many times do you have to get your brains beaten in by the Kansas City Chiefs before you say, let's try something different? And you're never going to fire the quarterback because he's one of the best players in the league. I think it is a huge mistake for the Bills to continue on with Sean McDermott. I wish he were the coach of my favorite team, the Giants. He's not a bad coach. Just that, like, the expiration date has long since been hit here, in my estimation.
Nick Kostos was show up in the Bulldog yesterday. The second spiciest call of the week to this station. Been using the term spicy a lot. I may need another one. Jeremy and Joe, that is, let me tell you, I love my, here's a stat that's not a predictive stat used like it's a predictive stat. A coach and quarterback together this long have never won before. That is not meaningful. There are lots of ways to explain why that would be true, and it is not meaningful. So, you know, does it mean that the Bills will definitely win with Sean McDermott? No. Mm-hmm. But he says it about John Harbaugh, too. Okay. Go for it. If you want.
Someone's going to win other than Andy Reid.
Yes.
Right?
Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni would have done it in year three together, so they're off the hook.
Yeah.
And who else here? You have, is Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, are they on watch now? Does Ben Johnson have 5 years with Caleb Williams? Do all these coaches and quarterbacks, I've got Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, 5 years, or yeah, else it's not going to happen. Somebody's going to win. It can't just be Mahomes and Reed. It might be. Part of the reason that's a statistic is because of all of the Brady and Belichicking out there. There's two decades of those two preventing teams from winning. Even if they didn't win, you know, they knocked teams out of the AFC.
Well, and often you do get owners that will get impatient, and they will fire guys, and even when they win, right, like the Bills have,
right,
they'll get impatient, and they'll fire them after, you know. I'm sure there are owners that would have fired Sean McDermott. It's not to say they would be in the right, and that Pegula is in the wrong, but there would be owners, I'm sure, out of 30, I don't know how many, would say, you've lost to the same team 4 times in the playoffs, you're out of here.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just that. Every single coaching quarterback combo in that set he would use would be all of the bad teams also.
Right.
Every Zach Wilson, every Adam Gase team, every time Pete Carroll gets Drew Locke. So on and on, it's just, there's another one. There's another pair that didn't win within 5 years. So without saying, I think they definitely will win, the idea that they won't because of this made-up, carefully crafted statistic that's more of a note, I don't buy it. So due respect to Nick Kostos, like, I wouldn't be out there yelling about that. You know, can I tell you something funny? That, again, everything is about legacy. Charles Barkley tweeted something this week that was the
tweeted something?
Yeah.
Is he on Twitter?
He said something and it got sent to Twitter.
Yeah. That makes more sense to me.
Did you see this that he said that if the Lakers lose to the Timberwolves, then LeBron's not a top five player anymore?
Okay.
Wake up your kids, guys. Wake up your kids, ladies and gentlemen. Let them know LeBron's no longer a top five player because the Lakers lost to the T-Wolves.
All right. At 40 years old, by the way.
At 40?
At 40 years old.
Hey, Jordan would have never lost to the T-Wolves. Okay.
Well, because he couldn't play basketball anymore at 40 years old.
Every single conversation that circles around championships and only being defined by championships is rife with just the most terrible discourse and statistics and, you got 5 years, time to move on.
That is definitely true. In this case, though, doesn't it have to be defined now by championship?
The Bills?
From here on, it has to be. Because they had a good conversation yesterday in the afternoon show about...
Oh, I love this conversation.
About how, are you more... What was the way they framed it?
They asked, are you more grateful or upset/frustrated?
Exactly.
What are the last 5 years for you when you think about the Bills?
Right.
Are you grateful or upset?
Right. And on Thursday at our draft party, I mentioned this earlier in the week, they put up that graphic, that stat on ESPN that said most wins in NFL history over 6 years without reaching the Super Bowl in the place groan/booed. That stat.
Yep.
Which they had a good caller on. I don't remember what hour it was in, but a caller that brought up that whole idea and that... To me, the fairest place to be is you are grateful that the Bills are this and that they are this interesting, but you and that they are this good and that you're there 35-7 at home in the last however many years, but you're also not satisfied.
Sure.
And as a fan, you should not be satisfied with we're just great, but we haven't won. You got to do the thing. Right. And that was a little bit of my frustration a little bit earlier in the week is – That there is a... Is there not come off as a little bit of attitude like they've already won it?
Well, all right, let's get to that. The question itself, grateful or upset?
Right.
Like, are you more great... When you think about this time, are you grateful or upset? 803-0550, that was their conversation yesterday. I heard this question and I loved it. Because my answer is, if there was a slider, 100 to one side, 100 to the other, grateful or upset, where am I? This may come as a surprise to some of you. My answer is 100-0 grateful. It's not close. I want to even go so far as to say I'm not upset. Maybe I'm not upset enough because I'm so grateful.
Uh-huh.
Sure, we talk about how they could be better. What could they do? Let's get to these games. And then we get to those games, and when they win or they lose, I am eternally grateful for living in this era of the Bills. I think the drought... brought me to a land of course I want them to win the Super Bowl. It would be the greatest thing ever. But you can't get me to even tick that slider more than 5 points to the upset side. Upset? Mm-hmm. When they lost to the Texans, I know people were devastated. I came in the next day, I'm so happy to have been a part of it. Mm-hmm. It was a playoff game. And the AFC Championship games, I mean, listen, losing to the Chiefs is getting old. And I'm getting annoyed at them, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's frustration involved, but it is not close for me. The GM can get mad at me for wanting receivers, and we can argue with each other about the value of guards, but at the end of the day, I work in the place where we watch Josh Allen do magic things. And I think back to the people that watched this team in the 90s, sure, other people can walk into the room and say, oh, four straight Super Bowls. And that hurts to lose those. But are you crazy? You have to have lived through that that's the point. You never get guaranteed championships. It's why anytime anybody asks me, would you want a championship? I can never know that I'm going to get one. The whole idea is the chase. The whole idea is, will we ever get there? Will they ever do it? It's the most dramatic television show there is. It's a community, unifying experience, and we're all on the ride together. And I am endlessly grateful that we have a good era of football to talk about.
I'm definitely that too. I'm definitely not 100-0 like you are. I might be 70-30 in favor of grateful.
Give me like 98-2. I'll put a 2 in there.
98-2.
I'll put a 2 in there.
Part of it is it is that they haven't won and that I've never seen them win, and knowing you're thinking about like what that could be like and being angry that they I guess you kind of have to feel like they should have, though. You have to feel like they should have won one.
I do think they are overdue. I think that they should have not
they
even,
are overdue.
Not and, even won one. They should have been to one by
and,
now.
And there also is, I don't know how many Bills fans carry this around. It's probably healthy to not carry this around. That the period of time that you are grateful for and that you enjoy so much and is so much fun is also embarrassing. Because that's the Super Bowl era. I didn't live through that, but when that era comes up, it's both. It's more healthy, again, to think about how great that was and to have lived through it, but you see jokes made about it all the time. But still, to this day, there are jokes that are made about how they lost four straight Super Bowls. There's this caveat that comes with all those great times that they had to throw that little extra embarrassing piece of it. And to a lesser extent, I think that's that six-year most wins without reaching a Super Bowl stat. There's this little piece of embarrassment that comes along with it.
Yeah, it's the new, oh, congratulations.
Right, a little bit.
Congratulations. And if there's someone from a market or a team that has won, they get to slap you across the face with it.
Right.
You can be a Packers fan and do it. You can be, of course, a Chiefs fan. You can be not a Bengals fan. The Bengals haven't won anything. They went to a Super Bowl. They can throw that at you.
Right, it's anxiety and winning while Allen is this good, and you know ever thinking about the idea that they wouldn't win. I still think they're going to win. That's the other thing. That's what makes me not be,
they're going to get it done eventually.
Eventually, I'll get to a point where it's 50-50, grateful versus upset. The longer this goes on, really, it's more and more. How much has the anxiety grown for me personally that they're not going to win it? And for right now, I still believe that they're going to. And that you can even tie in the wide receiver point about this earlier in the week. Sure, I believe that their best chance to win it would be if they have like an elite receiver to go along with all this other stuff they have. But I tell you right now, I think they're going to win it someday, and I do not think they're going to have an elite receiver on the team when they do. Fair?
That might be right. I don't know.
They're not talking or acting like they're ever going to go chase that.
There's lots of ways.
You could get a draft pick to become that, and that would be a way to do it. But like right now, they are the co-favorites to win the AFC, which is a little bit funny.
As they should be.
That Nick Wright clip the other day where he called us Jerry and Joe, he got distracted because they put a graphic up on the bottom that said Bills were favored and Chiefs were behind them. Mm-hmm. So
he got mad about that, huh?
Yeah. The Bills and Ravens. I think he started yelling about how many times these guys have to take turns losing before you're willing to make Kansas City the favorites.
And therein lies the upset part of it.
Exactly.
Like these that's the thing. There are people that exist, not us, to make you upset. Sometimes we do, but we don't exist solely for that purpose. Anyway, let's get some calls in. 803-0550. And on that thing about McDermott from Nick Costos, there is a conversation about how many years until something major changes?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback's not going to be it. Coach and GM are the only two major changes the Bills could make if they wanted to.
Well, they already made the only other one they could have made, which was Diggs.
I mean,
and that doesn't rate to the same
big
way.
Change. Yeah. You're not getting it done. If they're not getting it done defensively, who goes? McDermott, Bean? Who's most likely to go?
If they don't get it done defensively?
Yeah. Because a funny thing happened on the way to Brandon Mean building the defense and saying over and over and over, it's the defense, it's the defense, it's the defense. It was the defense. Is every time he says that, I think people look at Sean McDermott and say it's that guy's fault. And
yeah,
despite the fact that Brandon Bean, of course, built the defense,
right,
he doesn't get tied to the defense. This week was Bean aligning himself with the offense. Was it not?
Yeah.
Bringing up Allen and Rosen here and on McAfee, talking about how all the stats about the offense, and then it's the defense that let us down. And I think it is, I don't know that it's calculated. I might not go that far, but anybody that follows this team, when you think about the defensive failures, who do you think of, McDermott or Bean?
Bean
gets the players. Bean drafts them, signs free agents. I mean, people here think that McDermott has a decision, has a hand in every single personnel move they make, right down to not wanting a receiver. And I don't think that that's accurate. So,
yeah,
if they have another offensive season like they just did and the defense lets them down and we come in here on the Monday after that game, whose name are you going to hear? So-and-so's got to go. Who's going to go? McDermott or Bean? They do not report to each other. They both report to the head coach. So at some point...
Owner.
They both report to the owner. So at some point, if there is going to be a change, that owner's going to have to pick a side.
803-0550. But how many years of not winning before you can
before
get to
before the owner says, or before one of the sides says, I need a different partner here.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they just, you know, stay together? Jason in Amherst. Hey, Jason, good morning.
Hey, I'm happy you guys are talking about how you can be both grateful and frustrated, because it seems like a lot of people, at least, you know, debating online, think you have to be one or the other. And I was alive for the Super Bowl era, the drought, and I'm super grateful. Every morning after a win on Monday, that day is better. I'm like light and smiling at people. So, but I am really, really frustrated, and I wanted to talk about the McDermott point. I don't think we should be calling for him to be fired, but everyone does have their breaking point, and that's an interesting conversation. I have one more playoff loss in me, a playoff loss where we look kind of unprepared or like we don't have any answers. I just want to have a defense that, you know, stops Patrick Mahomes a little bit, not even a lot. He can have a good game. He can have a great game. It's just hard to watch him have like a historically efficient game where one of his best games of his career against us, like he did in this last one. It's just starting to get tough for me to – I didn't know I could feel pain like I did after this last loss. It was shocking to be brought back into that world this much. So I think I have one more. I assume everyone has their breaking point. And one quick thing I wanted to say, a lot of people say, well, who else are you going to get? We don't know who's good out there. I had no idea Sean McVay was going to be a successful coach because I didn't know who he was. Like, you hire someone who interviews well, and then they turn into someone good. We don't know who might be good. You try things. And you can say that with every winning coach. We didn't know about them until they won. So I don't think that's a great retort.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. As I say grateful, I guess it's just because I don't view wanting to – like you said, people act like you have to be one or the other. I'm very grateful, but – absolutely pushing for whatever it takes to win. I want the Bills to go more all in and be more like the Eagles in the way that they defer money and use the salary cap to their advantage. The Eagles do it in a way that other teams don't and probably should. And I also don't appreciate, and it really doesn't make sense to me, if you say, you call and say, like, I'd move on from McDermott, anybody that responds with, oh, so we can go back to the drought years, like, I don't ever view that as a serious comment. The thing about Allen, and this is something we got into this week, is no matter what, no matter who he's with, Bills fans are going to believe they can win with Josh Allen, and that's probably justified.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of played with the experience during the draft. What if Josh Allen, you know, the Bills fold, and he becomes the quarterback of the Cowboys? What do you think the Cowboys will do? I mean, Dak is good. The Cowboys are a playoff team. Are they a contender in the NFC immediately?
Maybe a lot better. Yes.
Even though Dak is good.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen just left and went to the Giants, what would they be? In the mix for the division?
Super Bowl contender.
If you went to the Bucs, are they a Super Bowl contender?
Yes.
If you went to the Rams, what are they doing? Contender. Super Bowl contender.
I think almost any team, probably actually every team in the league. Who's the worst team in the league? Put them on Carolina.
The Titans. He goes to the Titans. What do? They make the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe they're not Super Bowl contender, but I'd pick them and make the playoffs.
And that's a powerful thing to have on your team. And it raises your expectation. And that's like the genesis of how the Bean argument gets going, is he's thinking, I got to build these other places for Allen, while I think, and some other Bills fans seem to think, boy, you got to just surround him with everything he needs because he could go anywhere and win. And if you're not doing it, it kind of just brightens the spotlight each and every time. Everybody, I keep making the comparison to Rory McIlroy. Because when I read Kyle Porter about Rory, I think it was Kyle Porter that wrote this, it was a way to talk about pressure that I'd never thought about it before, and I just appreciated it. When you haven't won the thing that everybody knows you can, you haven't won the thing that everybody knows that you should win.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen's pressure is not the same as – I shouldn't say that. The pressure to win with Josh is not the same as the pressure to win with Dak. Dak is really good, but there's not this – he should have had one by now.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen has that. Does Burrow even have that? How many quarterbacks have the...
It's Allen and Jackson.
Right.
That's it.
If you have him, you should have won it.
Right.
And maybe in 7 years, Jaden Daniels gets to that status if he plays amazing and doesn't get to one.
Right.
But that's the building the Bills operate in. You should have had one.
By the way, on the coach point, this could be the GM too. And this is, I'm not saying that either guy should be fired right now, but I was thinking about this yesterday a little bit, that if they ever did that, years from now, they're still not winning and they actually, something happens and they actually move on from one of the two. It isn't like the drought. Like there's not a fear of mine that they wouldn't get some qualified candidate. Chan Gailey comes here as the head coach in part because nobody else would take the job, right? Like they had to hire a fired offensive coordinator because that's where the state of the organization was. We have this conversation with the Sabres all the time, right? There was a report they tried to call Craig Berube last offseason about being the Sabres head coach, and he didn't want to take the call, basically. Why? Because look at the state of the franchise. Look at the state of the Bills. If some dramatic shift happens in 3 years and they still haven't won and Sean McDermott's no longer the head coach or Brandon Bean's no longer the general manager, you don't think that the most qualified candidates are going to be lining up to coach Josh Allen?
Hey, do you want to come in our brand new palace of a stadium that we're just about to open with the best player in the NFL?
You'll have people quitting their jobs to get this one. So that's not to say I want either one of them fired. It's just I don't have this fear that if they ever do,
what would happen,
that they're going to get some bozo to come run the show.
Elijah Moore. We like the Elijah Moore signing quite a bit. Fits in quite nicely.
Yes, I like it a lot. He's going to wear, he wore number 8 in Cleveland.
Yeah? Is he going to wear 8?
Is that taken right now?
Should I get a jersey? Just to commemorate the last 4 days? I was joking about that last night. Maybe I get a
Is there a pun to be had? But you put like more wide receivers on the back? M-O-O-R-E.
Elijah Moore jersey. I have an Andy Dalton jersey to commemorate that day. I have a Cam Atkinson jersey.
You do?
Yeah.
You have an Andy Dalton jersey?
Yes.
A Bengals Andy Dalton jersey?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know this. When's the last time you wore it?
The
Bengals annoy you now. You wouldn't wear a Bengals jersey.
No, that's right, but I think it was the player that's responsible for ending the drought. I was going to buy his jersey, so I bought Dalton's jersey.
Yeah. I'm assuming made sure to make sure it was the one that he was actually... It was the white one, right?
Nah, I just bought an Andy Dalton jersey.
That's... Wait. You bought an Andy Dalton jersey, but it's not the one, like the same color he was wearing when he broke the drought?
No.
I would have tried to line that up.
Yeah, well.
I also have a Cam Atkinson jersey, by the way. 8 is unavailable because Terrell Bernard switched his number.
Oh, that's right.
So Terrell Bernard is 8.
Do we have to be scared that Elijah Moore is going to get one of these bad numbers? Like 22?
Who were you telling me the other day
Number? Matthew Golden took 22. Terrace Marshall took 46.
46. Well, 43 is available. Let's see. 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all taken.
That's bad news.
11 taken. 12 taken. Retired.
Taken.
13 available. 14 unavailable. 15 unavailable. 16 available. 18 available.
Who's in
13, 16, 18 are his only numbers.
Who's in 14 right now? Because that was, of course, Diggs and then Claypool.
Mike White.
All right. Well,
he's back. I think he's gonna be the backup quarterback.
I mean, sure. They gave it to Claypool, so come on. 13.
Diggs. You're making yeah. They already gave it out.
13. That's Stevie Johnson. Elijah Moore in 13.
16.
You know what?
I think 18 is the 18's the one. He wore 8. 18. Just add the one in.
My Gabe Davis jersey would appreciate 13 because then I can just change the nameplate.
No, they have to save that though for when Gabe Davis gets cut by the Jaguars and inevitably comes back to the Bills.
How about in the 80s? What do you got in the 80s?
Elijah Moore. 80s. Yeah. My mind is so trained now on receivers, I didn't even think to look at the 80s because nobody does it.
Shavers is 80.
Shavers is 80. 81 available, 82, 83. 84 is Zach Davidson. 85 is available.
You're in the tight end. You can't go higher than 84. That's tight end territory.
Well, 88 you could do, but still, that's taken.
I think 81. 81 works for me. Give me the
89 is Jalen Virgil.
The old peerless price number for Elijah Moore.
You know what? I might go 87 for Elijah Moore.
That's a tight end number.
Let's bring that back. Reggie Wayne, right? You've had some great receivers that
have
worn 87 over the years.
Trying to put a slow number on Elijah Moore. It's terrible.
He's going to change the narrative
on
87.
You can't make 87
fast.
We're
going to take it back from the tight ends.
87 is Gronk. You can't make 87 fast. You can't do it. 87,
unless the guy is fast.
Nope.
Mushlin Muhammad was number 87.
Mushin Muhammad.
Yeah, Mushin Muhammad, excuse me. Roger Craig.
You can't make 87 fast. Can't do it. We would be watching him on film. And like, Kadarius
Toney.
Too slow. Is wearing what?
Kadarius Toney was number 87 when he started with the Giants. So what do you want? You want 18
and
for
him? How'd that go with the Giants? Not very good.
Yeah, it didn't. Oh, Romeo Doubs is number 87?
Looks slow.
Does he?
I don't know. 803-0550. Paul Hamilton, when we get back, there's a Friedman report. Elliot Friedman about what's going on with the Sabres. They did have their meeting. We'll check in on the Amerks playoff run, how Devin Levi's been doing. But also ask Paul, like, is anything going to happen? It's May 1st, and they had their end of season. They said they were going to meet with ownership. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton. Just a quick check-in on the Buffalo Sabres. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Enough just pooped his pants.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, well, the Sabres... Sorry, well, the Bills have been, you know, busy and drafting and news. The Sabres have been quietly just kind of there.
Can I predict that that clip was from the Leafs blowing it in a playoff series?
Fanoof?
Like they're going to tonight?
I believe it. Paul, you can give us the answer to this. I believe it was from a game where the Sabres would have played the Calgary Flames.
I don't remember, to be quite honest with you.
Hold on, let me Google Fanoof.
He's because
I'm not gonna go ahead and put that in.
Do that because I'm thinking he's on the Leafs and maybe is the captain when they blow a 3-goal lead to the Bruins in Game 7.
Yeah, maybe.
I think so, but whatever.
Speaking of other teams, Paul, what's your feeling on Utah Mammoth? Because I think it's going that way. I saw that there was a brief moment where the Utah Hockey Channel, the YouTube page, the indicators are Mammoth might be the pick. How's it hit you?
As long as it's not the hockey team, that's what I was afraid they were going to do, is just stay with that. I don't know. I just don't understand why it had to be the hockey team ever. Why did it take so long to make it a decision?
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, you have this franchise. You know you have this franchise, and it takes you – over a year to figure out what you want to call it.
So there was, I read a story about their arena that they're going to do, because it's a basketball rink. Sorry, this is an aside, but it's a basketball rink, obviously, and a hockey rink, and hockey rinks are much bigger. So how do you fit more in? Because I think in their inaugural season as a hockey rink, they only had 11,000 seats available.
Well, because there's some seats that are also obstructed because it was built for basketball.
Right, right. So they're going to undergo a process and put in some sort of riser system that will add 6,000 seats to it. It'll soon be a 17,000-seat stadium. They're going to blow out the ends and transform it, basically, to retrofit it to fit a full NHL crowd.
So they're not going to go up with it?
I don't think so. I think it's – I was trying to understand exactly how it's going to work.
Because that's what they were going to do with this – baseball stadium here is go
right,
up
right
when
right.
they were if it would have become major league
right yeah I'll find the answer to this, but the thing I read about was a riser system that's being in installed anyway. 803-0550. Yeah, an innovative new system, incredible viewing experience for Jazz fans. They've come to level optimizing sight lines for NHL fans, multi-year renovation. You know what I'm gonna really look for here is some sort of artist rendering.
Well, this is also funny because they're building a new arena, but not until the Olympics come.
Yeah.
So, like, their future plan is they'll go into whatever that arena is.
Basically, I'm looking at one mock-up of it. It looks like the Delta Center, the entire lower bowl, which is kind of sloped gradually for basketball.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That'll get steeper, which will allow for more seats to go in and also better sight lines. So anyway.
I thought that was illegal to make it steeper.
I don't know. They're doing it.
Because remember, that's the reason why they can build hockey arenas that are steeper in Canada, but they can't here.
Right. I wonder if it's so flat that this maybe is just bringing it back to where other NHL teams are.
Listen, we are.
We're in the weeds.
I'm about to go further in the weeds. They're also installing 4 new dehumidifiers. So they're going to great lengths. Anyway, Paul, hey, what's going on with the Sabres? There's supposed to be a meeting, right? Kevin Adams meeting with ownership and whether or not there are going to be changes or what might happen. It's been, I don't know, has it been quieter than you thought over there? Is there some sort of expected move coming with a shuffle or anything like that?
Well, I would imagine the NFL draft might have put that off because, you know, Terry would want to be in on all the NFL draft meetings and usually, you know, the hockey meeting is down in Florida. Now, it could have been here. I suppose he could have come up right at the end, you know, and done it before the draft and the draft meetings. I just know he likes being part of all the draft meetings and everything like that. So that would make me think maybe they put that off then and maybe, you know, the hockey people would come to Florida, or maybe, you know, he stayed later, you know, stayed, you know, into Sunday and they did it here on Sunday, you know, something like that. So it has been rather quiet. You would think that something is going to come out of that, whether it has to do with Adams, whether it has to do with assistant coaches, whether it has to do with the hockey department. I doubt it would have anything to do with Lindy Ruff. Kevin Adams has already said Lindy Ruff is coming back next year. So, you know, the meeting might have something to do with, you know, Lindy Ruff basically is going to make the decisions on players, you know, type of a thing. You know, it could be something like that, you know, that Adams loses some of his power when it comes to that. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that I can tell you that I do not believe if he was in Rochester for game two. Adams and Ruff, they weren't in a place where we could see them because they always are in the same place when they're there, you know, and they weren't. So, you know, and that was Sunday.
Right.
So, you know, they could have been meeting with Terry on Sunday in Buffalo. They could have been on the way to Florida and done it there, you know, because the draft was over. You know, so there's just a number of different ways that it could have gone.
Do you think that if there isn't a change in job title, you just kind of spoke to, like, maybe the shuffle doesn't even feature a job title. It's just more right. Power behind the scenes.
Exactly. I don't think it'd be a job title if it's just,
yeah,
you know, Lindy Ruff is going to tell you so-and-so and so-and-so can't – they don't fit. They're not going to play. You got to get rid of them. And you got to bring in certain types of players, that type of thing.
Yeah. Would you expect them to us to see reports, or maybe they? I don't know about an announcement then that he would be staying on as GM. I'm thinking back to when they originally talked about this was Kim Pegula that Jason Botterill was going to stay. That was of course before he got fired weeks later, but that was something fans were talking about then. And it's like they came out and like made sure everybody knew like he was sticking on. I wonder if they would do that with Adams too.
I don't know if they would make an announcement that he's going to stay. It's a different PR regime that might think, you know, might just think that do it a different way. That, well, what are we making an announcement about? We're not changing anything.
Right.
So why are we making an announcement type of a thought process? So, you know, now would they announce certain assistant coaches are gone? I don't know. I don't know if that would be an announcement or not. You know, the hockey department, I don't know if that would be an announcement. Well, we're going to have different scouts, or we're going to have, you know, shuffle the deck there or something like that. I don't know if that would be any type of an announcement type of a thing. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. How, you know, if it's not specifically Adams – I wouldn't count on an announcement, but I also wouldn't. I just don't know how they would react.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline chatting with us about the Sabres, who, you know, their season came to an end. We've not really heard about any sort of moves. There have been reports about that. And you mentioned Lindy and Kevin Adams. They may have been in Rochester, but you just didn't see them. Rochester, meanwhile, is up 2-0 in that series and looking to close out tonight against Syracuse. Devin Levi, a shutout. I saw the guys that scored the goals, Paul. Good. I mean, if you're really hanging on to Sabres prospects, it was a good game for that. Konsta Hellenius scored, their first-round pick from this last season. Isaac Rosanne scored, and Yuri Kulik scored, while Devin Levi got a shutout. So when you watch Rochester, Paul, I don't know how many available spots they're going to have on this team next year, how quickly they'll kind of turn things, because they want to be more veteran-laden than young. But do you feel like there is at least like Bottrell was big on this, that what they have in Rochester starts to look like a healthy foundation, like a healthy feeder system that a good team would need?
Yeah, and a guy like Austlin, who I thought accounted for himself very well in Buffalo at the end of the year, I wouldn't rush him up there. He'd start in Rochester next year, because I think that's part of the problem why some of these young players are maybe their growth was stunted. They were rushed to the National Hockey League, you know, except for Kulik. You know, Kulik has had over 100 games in the American Hockey League. Roseanne has had over 100 games. Now Levi has played pretty much a year and a half in Rochester, which they should have done earlier. But, you know, he has had proper development, I think. So even though Austlin, I think, accounted for himself very well, there's no reason to be rushing him up here, because I think you're absolutely right for, you know, they need to find veterans right now to mix in with some of these young players. You know, I think Zucker was a great find, and I think Zucker was great for Kulik throughout the year. I mean, he helped him move in to his, you know, apartment or house or whatever it was. You know, and really was with him all the way through to help him with his growth. So, you know, I like these two Russian defensemen, but I don't think they're ready for the NHL yet. But they just continue to impress me. I thought last year in the playoffs, you know, the one that was here, I thought played very well. Komarov is a big guy who, well, he got pretty much knocked out. Mm-hmm. But he was in a fight with one of the bigger Syracuse. And that's the thing. They're playing a goon squad. I mean, this is a big team. This is a dirty team. It's probably one of the dirtiest teams I have ever seen. They will cheap shot you. They will take you head first into the wall. They will, when you're not expecting to get hit, they'll come hit you from behind. But they're huge. And he took on one of their bigger guys, and they just kind of slugged. It was a slugfest. It was a good fight back and forth. Unfortunately, he got caught with an uppercut, and down he went, which might, you know, put him out for a little bit. But, you know, he's a big kid too, and I was impressed with him before that happened. And that's the thing. You know, they play a very good defensive system too. And Levi made over 30 saves. It was around 35 in that shutout win. But I don't know if there were any shots he couldn't see. You know, he could see everything, whether it was long range and everything. He made some good saves. He looks like, you know, he's so confident in what he's doing right now, his movements. He's not, you know, overplaying things in the net. He's coming out to challenge shooters. He just, you know, looked good. But he didn't have to, like, make that save where you go, oh, wow, did you see that type of a thing. You know, because, you know, Rochester had a little bit of trouble with the puck in the second period, but not huge amount. They just play good defensive hockey, which helps them along the way. And as I said, the two Russian kids are part of that. Ryan Johnson's part of that on the defense. But, you know, I'll get back to Kulik again. I mean, it was a couple of plays that had nothing to do with the offense that really impressed me. I had written in my notes before he even got into the offense, and he had to fight through it. He has to fight through these big guys. And he knows, you know, you better look out or they're going to knock you out. I mean, they're going to pile drive you into the wall, and they're going to be, you know, punch you in the back of the head. And, you know, the first thing I wrote on him is he took his check right back to the crease. And had he not done that, that guy would have been wide open for a pass for a great opportunity on goal. But I thought, you know, here's a guy who's learning the two-way game. made a great defensive play coming back, made sure he was with his guy. Next thing I know, he blocks a shot. He can't even get to the bench. He can't put any weight on his leg whatsoever. And I'm thinking, oh, this does not look good at all. It wasn't like a typical, you know, you limp off after a block shot, walk it off type of a thing. But he wouldn't leave the bench. He just stayed there. As much as I think they wanted him to go to the room, he wouldn't. And then, at a whistle, he went on the ice and tried to skate, and that didn't look good. I mean, he could hardly still couldn't skate, but he stayed on the bench, finally pulled himself together, and, right at the end of the second period, Syracuse got the penalty with 17 seconds. It was like 17.6 seconds left to go in the period. The puck was in the net by 13.3 seconds. It took 4 seconds for Dunn, who you recall came up for a few games, win a draw, back to Clegg, and over for one of the one-timers, and it was an absolute... He just clobbered that puck. It was a missile that he put in, and they had that goal. That was the second goal to make it 2-0 as they went in for the end of the second period. And then he wins a faceoff back to Clegg and goes to the net as Clegg fires one, and now he's got a goal and an assist to go with. He stuck with it too. As I said, it wasn't an easy game for him to slog through. First of all, because I know he's got a great big welt on his foot. And second of all, Syracuse is not going to make it easy on you. They are going to make it absolutely miserable for you. But he fought through it, and I thought looked really good.
Paul Hamilton on the Sabres, who are waiting. Any news from in the Amerks, who look to close it out tonight against the Syracuse Crunch. Thanks, Paul.
No problem. Take care.
Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. The Amerks looking to close it out, looking to not do what the Leafs did. Leafs are up 3-0, have lost 2 straight. I saw a quick note. Leafs were up 3-0 in the Panthers. We're only 2 games into that series.
Mm-hmm.
And now Florida's going to end up being the more rested team because they're already through.
Mm-hmm.
You're up 3-0 thinking, all right, great. And now if they win, they beat Ottawa. Sure, you're through, but the Panthers are the more rested team. Washington and Carolina, the only two teams that are the other two teams that are through. On the West, nobody is through. Not a single series is going less than 6 in the West.
And a super fast stat on the Leafs. The Leafs now with this core group of players are 1-13 in elimination games.
Games where they can eliminate the other team.
Yeah. 1-13.
That is stat of the year.
Yeah.
14 times
they've been able to advance to the next
round.
And
they have one win.
Yeah.
Remarkable. 803-0550. Top of the hour, Sal, quickly on the Bills' Elijah Moore signing. 8:30, Jets host on the Elijah Moore signing. What happened there with the Jets, where they drafted him as a second-round pick. And at 9 o'clock, former Bills offensive lineman Jerry Ostrowski on the Bills' draft. And specifically, I want to get to him on Deion Walker, the Bills' fourth-round pick, because I know he's got a lot of knowledge of the kind of injury that Walker had. We'll talk about what the Bills are going to do with him and the draft class in general. So stay tuned. We've got lots coming up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, we'll get to Sal in a minute on Elijah Moore. We also get to the Derby field because I think that there is a horse that we are required to bet on, the four of us. Official morning show horse. I think there's going to be one in there based on the name.
Wide receiver train.
No. I would bet on that horse, though.
WR trained.
And also at some point this morning, for those of you on the chat and YouTube, you can see this. We're going to eat Josh's beef jerky.
Yes.
You made beef jerky. Homemade jerky.
Never done it before, so. I think it came out good.
It's beef jerky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to try it. Why not?
I'm excited.
Sal on the other side, 803-0550. If you want to get a thought in on Elijah Moore and the Bills adding a receiver. That's why we're talking about it.